Hello, fellow learner. I'm Scott Merrick. Welcome to episode number 72 of Snacks for the Brain, a podcast outlining the work done by members of the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach and the scientists and students they serve.
With a sub-focus on educational innovation of all kinds, visit the website at scienceoutreach.org for more information.
Right now, thanks for being here. Let's get right down to it with this tasty little
Snack for the Brain.
On July 10, 2008, 10 School for Science and Math seniors in 19 Research Internship Program,
RIP,
students presented their summer research at two poster sessions in the north lobby of the Vanderbilt University Medical Center's Light Hall. Snacks for the Brain was there amidst the bustling parents, teachers, and medical professionals who came to hear what these immensely talented students had to say. Because it was so well attended, and because each student was talking at once in the great lobby of the newly renovated Light Hall, there's a great deal of background noise. This can be experienced by you, the listener, as either really, really annoying or
really, really exciting.
I prefer the latter, as I share with you three talented high school students explaining how they spent the last month and a half of their working lives. The human brain wants to make sense of what it senses. Let yours register the joy and excitement of the moments to follow. First up, a few words from Tiffany Ellis Farmer, summer research coordinator for the RIP program. Tiffany? So it's Tiffany.
Tiffany Ellis Farmer.
Gotcha.
I am the summer research coordinator this summer.
Great.
It started just really as a temporary position, but I'm going to stay on with the Center for Science Outreach because I've enjoyed working with the students so much.
That's great. These are great students.
Oh, they're fabulous.
It's amazing. Yeah,
I was impressed by their applications originally, and then I just had no idea what I was in for whenever they showed up that first day, and it was fabulous.
That's great.
It's been a real fun experience. And looking at the posters today, I mean, they have done just an amazing job.
Stunning. Now, are these posters going to be available on the web at all?
That's not something that we had.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
I'll take a few photographs. I'm recording for a podcast, Next for the Brain, and I'm hoping to put it together this week, and it should be up next week.
Okay, great.
So you can have students from the School for Science and Math, but you've also got students who are not in the School for Science and Math.
Right. So we have students that are also from other Middle Tennessee schools. So in Williamson County, we have a student from Rutherford County. We also have students from as far as Texas and Florida and Germany. So
Sweet. We
have a wide range. And they come, the students who are involved strictly in the research internship program, it's a six-week program. And then we have 10 school students who will continue on with the School for Science and Math through the fall.
That's fabulous. How many students altogether?
29.
29. And that was every day for 6 weeks?
Yes, 40-plus hours a week for 6 weeks.
Woo! That's quite a commitment.
It is.
Well, it's paid off. I can look around this room and see all kinds of...
I think that they're all very proud of
themselves. All kinds of stuff I don't understand. Yeah, I think they should have every right to be proud of themselves.
Really?
I appreciate your time, and
you.
We look forward to sharing this out with the world.
All right, thank you.
All right.
My name is Hannah Erku.
Okay, and you're at National School of the Arts?
National School of the Arts.
Cool, and you're a senior?
Rising senior.
Great, so are you in the School for Science and Math too?
Yes.
Maybe in the senior class for the School for Science and Math?
Yes.
Sweet!
Yes.
So tell me about your poster. We're at a poster session here, which I just explained. So Hannah's going to give us a quick rundown of her antimicrobial peptides that inhibit HIV and protect beneficial lactobacilli.
Awesome. You
Ooh,
said that great.
I did it.
Well, they're frogs that naturally secrete peptides, antimicrobial peptides. The person before me found out that these peptides that they secrete actually protects these frogs from the HIV virus. So this is huge.
Right,
my job was to figure out how well these peptides work with the beneficial bacteria in the female vaginal area, because we're trying to stop the transfer of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a replicate of the bacteria found in the vaginal area and tested it against these peptides at different serums, different strains. So this graph right here shows the person before me did this. This is the bacteria versus the HIV virus versus the peptides at different concentrations.
Okay, so it's 100% infection?
100% infection.
At the top of the range and zero?
Zero here. So at 25 micromolars, 100% of the virus is killed.
Wow.
Like at 25 micromolars. That's a very small amount.
Right, yeah.
So my job was to figure out at 25 micromolars for this strain, how well is the bacteria growing? Like, how is the contact, how is, when the bacteria is contacted with this peptide, how is it working? How well is it working? So here at 25 micromolars, which it completely kills the HIV virus, 25 micromolars, the bacteria is growing very well. It's happy and it's growing and it's doing very well. And it's a beneficial bacteria, so the females need it for health, for good health. So this is great. So I tested different strains and got the same results. And this means that this beneficial lactobacilli works very well with the four peptides that I tested, which means we could potentially stop the transfer of AIDS.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It's pretty amazing. So the next step is to genetically engineer this bacteria to naturally secrete these peptides. So you would eat yogurt every morning, and it would have this genetically engineered bacteria.
Right.
It would get into your system, and you'd naturally secrete these peptides. And you'd be... There's no transfer of AIDS.
That's amazing. So this doesn't stop the AIDS or cure it, but it stops the transfer.
The transfer. Because these frogs, when they were injected with the HIV virus,
mm-hmm.
they secreted these peptides, and it stopped the transfer, like they didn't get sick.
Gotcha. And Hannah's given a great explanation of her project here. Sweet. So you're ready? You're going to get a break now for the summer?
Next week is my last week in lab, and then we come back in August.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
So enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you very much.
Very, very nice to meet you.
Exhibit number 2, Tagbo Obe from Father Ryan High School.
And you work with Dr. Uffner, who's a friend of mine, and your poster looks fabulous. I need a magnifying glass. That's great. It's a very in-depth work here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're comparing microRNA genes to different environmental sites.
Gotcha.
And we're doing this so we can categorize unknown methanogens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the significance of this is that methanogens produce methane as a byproduct of their metabolism. Now, with all these animal waste being dumped into these lagoons in an open-air environment, as you know, methane is a greenhouse gas. This is warming the Earth's atmosphere, you know?
Right.
So what I did is I used BLAST, which is a tool to make sure that the genes I'm extracting from samples are methanogens. From there, I used CLUSTAL-W to align my genetic sequences.
Mm-hmm.
I inserted that into a phylogenetic tree, which built all these, and I categorized, you know, the sites where they're from and the samples.
Well,
yeah. After that, I put into one big tree, and then we found that 50% of the microRNA genes were related to the swine, you know.
Well.
Yeah. But still, there's so many more unknown methanogens out there that if we can categorize them, we can target them and determine which methanogens producing the most methane, and we use chemicals and other materials as such to inhibit them, and that can reduce some of the methane that's in the Earth's atmosphere, you know.
Yeah. That's good work.
Yeah.
Well, I like your background.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So where did you get your samples?
I didn't get the samples.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I was giving these samples to use. And these come from beach and water sediments, swine and dairy, wastewater lagoons, and we have sewage.
Great. Well, that's wonderful. I'm going to grab my... You're Father Ryan, right?
Yes, sir.
And are you in the School for Science and Math this coming year?
No, sir. I'm just in RIP, the regular program, for
right.
6 weeks.
Excellent. Have you enjoyed it? Or have you enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I came here for the experience, and they definitely gave me a good knowledge of what's going on.
Excellent. So you're going to continue with science work over the next school
year?
Yeah,
I plan to. I'm going to find another program somewhere here at Vanderbilt and continue with it.
Great. What do you hope to do after you graduate?
I'm going to major in biology, most likely. I'm taking this. Many science classes I can right now.
There's always work to be done.
Yeah.
It's really nice to spend some time with you. Thank you for sharing it.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
I've got one more exhibit for you. That would be exhibit 3. However, I'd like to throw some music at you first. I've been out shopping at Magnatune.com, and I've come up with this wonderful alt-rock guy named Arthur Yoria. That's Y-O-R-I-A, out of Houston, Texas. Here's a song of his called...
At Least You've Been Told...
Conversation starts again. The tights are loose and somewhat bright, but the fetching news will have to wait. Because nothing's happening. Can't relate, cause something's still the thing. Is it cold or am I just getting old? I'll be on my own, but at least you've been told. You scratch an itch, and if it bleeds, you might get rich. The problem is if you resist, it still exists until you wait. Okay, cause nothing's happening. Can't relate, cause something's still nothing. Is it cold or am I just getting old? I'll be on my own, though at least you've been told. Nothing's happening, can't relate, cause something's still missing. Is it cold or am I just getting old? I'll be on my own, but at least you've been told.
Arthur Yoria from Magnatune.com. We are not evil, where you can go and buy cutting-edge new independent artists' work and pay what you think it's worth. That's a great new concept, getting new music out at Magnatune.com. Last up, it's next for the Brain, episode number 72, is Loy Hong, and he's going to tell you about his project. By the way, I've got several other interviews that I recorded in this vein at the RIP poster session on July 10, 2008, and I'd bet dollars to donuts that Snacks for the Brain episode number 73 will carry on in the same vein and use those interviews too. So kids, if you didn't hear your interview here, hold tight till Snacks for the Brain episode number 73. We're going to hear Loy, and I'll lead out with one more last song by Arthur Yoria at Magnatune.com, and say goodbye for now.
Your name is Loy.
Here's Loy.
Loy Hong.
Like the A is silent.
Gotcha. And are you in the School for Science and Math? Rising senior? Great, so you'll be starting, what, the 19th or so? And here. You get a little break after all this, I hope. Great. So if you can, you know, sort of speak up and get over the ambient noise here.
I'll try, I guess.
Okay, good. Well, I'll get close to you. It's good.
My experiment is on cell motion of T cells, and I was quantifying their motion in different temperature.
Gotcha.
I did body temperature and room temperature. And the way we did that was we used microfluidic devices. That's this picture right here.
Very nice.
And the way we created that was we first had to make a mold. And from that mold, you can see the indention right here.
Mm-hmm.
From that mold, we poured a gel over it and we cut it out. So that would leave a hollow indention in the cell, in the gel.
Mm-hmm.
And then that you can see that right here. And then after that, we glued the gel to a glass cover slip. And here's a look from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, we injected the cells into that hole, and it'll flow through the space in there. And the cells will get trapped in the indented pattern that we have right here. And from that, we took a picture of it. And I took a picture. I took a picture every 30 seconds or 30 minutes. And from time A to time B, I use a software that subtracted the pixel value.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give you a differential image. So here, all the white represent motion. And I calculated all the white and I plotted it on the graph.
Sweet.
So I compared the body temperature and room temperature. And from body temperature, I found out that they move about a 5% increase more.
When you apply a different temperature?
At 37 degrees Celsius,
yep.
They move 5% faster than 25 degrees Celsius.
Wow. And what does that what does that tell you? Is there a functionality to...
We're still studying these new cells. These cells are from leukemia.
Gotcha.
So we're still studying the basics of it. And but there's a low increase from room temperature to body temperature, which is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for that low increase is because the T cells, they're used to fight infections. And when your body gets an infection, your body temperature go up, and these T cells can still operate at that level. So they should have a broad range of temperature where they can adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my reasoning for it. And later, I'll find out how high they can go before dying.
Excellent.
That's my future.
So you're going to continue this next summer? Is that your notion?
Next week.
Next week.
And
so you're not finished. You're going to keep working on this. Right?
1 week, though. That's not my... Maybe okay. Not my job.
That's wonderful. Have you enjoyed the experience here, the RFP experience?
Yeah. It was really interesting. It's the hardest thing I had to do. It was a challenge.
And who did you work with here?
Kevin Seal.
Got it. And Eric Kim?
He's in a... Eric Kim is the...
Was a student last summer.
Uh-huh. Not last... Well, it was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
He did the same thing I did, except with toxin exposure instead of temperature. And so Kevin had the idea I should continue on and do temperature and found out their motion.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Floyd, thank you very much. Very nice to meet you.
Snacks for the Brain is brought to you by the fine folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, connecting working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. Check out the website at scienceoutreach.org.
I've been watching the fans rotate. I've been watching the leaflets turn. I've been watching the plans, even though they're fake. I've been thinking about the things I'll never learn. I've been watching the stones below. I've been watching the moves they make. I've been watching the faces that they'll never. And I've been thinking about what could be at stake. So who in the hell got up and rerung the bell and tell me who am I fighting for? Or give me a hand, because I really can't stand anymore. And I'm bored, but I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay. Thinking about how they can make me weak.
because I really can't stand anymore.